Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Are you ready for the Word? Open up your Word. We're going to be going to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter this morning. As I said, you know our nation is in great need, but we go all the way from huge political needs all the way to small needs, just like Joseph. You know, getting up in the morning and having to put on dirty, wet clothes that have holes in them is a legitimate need. I mean, this is not this young 6-year-old's fault that this is the situation he's in. Needs come in all sizes. Needs come in all shapes. And just because your need is not some need that the world would say is great does not mean it's not a big need in your life. What makes your need important is that it is your need. What makes your need important to God is that He loves you. So don't think that just because you got up this morning and you did not have to walk in mud to put your socks and shoes on, don't think that your need does not matter to God. Just because you are not in some great stature of some position, that your need is not a big need. You can trust that God cares about everything in your life. What might seem like a small need to someone else might seem like an overwhelming need to another. Your need is important. Your temporary need is important. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, in verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people," God, of course, speaking here to Solomon and the children of Israel at the dedication of the temple. You know, we read this verse together every week for 1 year in 2017. We felt like God told us to prepare. We felt like God told us to prepare for some coming difficulty. And so every week we read this scripture together, and every week as a church we spent 20 minutes praying together according to this scripture. Every week we committed to 52 weeks of "If My People." We even have a website. If you will go to ifmypeoplewill.com, you will see that's us. You know, "If My People Will," and you will find 52 lessons there that we put together and prayed and sought God because we felt like there was some coming moment that our nation needed help from God. And this is exactly how God feels about it. If my people, it sounds horrible to me that God would have to say if my people will pray, if my people will humble themselves, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if my people will seek my face, not just my hand, not just my blessing, but will seek my pleasure, will seek my smile, will seek a relationship with me, not just my blessings, but my relationship. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and if they will seek my face, if I can get my people, I'm not talking about the world, and we're not talking about the wicked, and we're not talking about the sinners, but if my people will turn from their wicked ways. He said, if I could just get my people who are called by my name to humble themselves. What is humility? How does a person humble himself? We humble ourselves when we recognize our need for God. Humility is not weakness. humility is not quietness. Humility is a recognition of our need for God. You know, the Bible says that there was never a man who was more humble than Moses. Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Do you know who wrote that? Moses did. Moses. See, meekness is not weakness. Meekness and humility is not timidity. Meekness is not a lack of resolve. Meekness is a recognition that I am dependent upon Almighty God. If my people who are called by my name will recognize how much they need me, not the world, but the church. If the church of the living God would recognize their need for God. We don't need another sermon. We don't need another song. We don't need another spiritual adventure. We need a relationship with Almighty God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, recognize how much they need me, and if I could get them to pray, if I could get my people to pray and seek my face, not just ask for, you know, my blessings, but seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then God said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. God meant this. Today, are you in need of peace in your home? Are you in need of joy in your heart? Are you in need today of forgiveness of sin? Do you need healing in your land, in your nation, in your community, in your family, in your own heart? Do you need mental, emotional healing? Do you need a spiritual healing today? Have you been disappointed? Have you been hurt? Have you been in a place where you feel as though that no one cares, no one knows? There was a time when God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. There was a time when they heard His voice and they would go to Him and walk with Him in the Garden of Eden. But then sin entered in through disobedience. And sin separated man from God, so that today we cannot see God. God sees us, but we do not see Him. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Man was separated from God. Now we talk to God in prayer, but we do not hear Him talk back to us. In rare forms, we are inspired because He says something to our heart or He says something to our mind, but we no longer have that communion that once was enjoyed, where God walked and talked and the voice of the Lord was plain and it fell upon our ears. And that's not available. For no man shall see God in this flesh. No man shall see God at any time. God sees us, but we can't see Him. God hears us, but we cannot audibly hear Him. So our prayer requires faith. Our prayer, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and communicate with me. But it's not always easy to talk to someone who does not talk back. Sometimes we wonder if God is listening. Does God really hear? Yes, He hears. But we cannot hear Him. Prayer requires faith. We must trust that God hears our prayer. And we must believe that He will answer us in His time according to His will in a way that He chooses. It could be through a sermon. It could be through a song. It could be through reading the Word. It could come through an interruption in our mind. It could come from an inspiration in our spirit or from a word of prophecy or encouragement from a friend. But God He wants a relationship with people who often cannot hear Him. He wants a relationship with people who cannot see Him. He wants us to believe that if we will recognize our need for Him and if we will verbalize our prayer to Him, He will hear and He will answer. He'll move His hand. We're shown examples of this throughout the Word of God. Abraham, Genesis 19, verse 27, says that Abraham got up early in the morning and went out to a place, and there he met God. The Bible says about David in Psalms 5, in verse 3, "Early in the morning will I look up and direct my prayer unto you, O Most High God." I can understand. I can understand Abraham needing to pray and David needing to pray. They were important people. I can understand all the important people. I can understand the president of a nation needing to pray. I can understand the pastor of a church needing to pray. But God is talking about everyone. He is saying that if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear and I would forgive. That's right. God will forgive. Your past will become the past. It will be, oh, God will forgive national sins. He will forgive individual sins and He will heal. But first, He needs us to recognize our need for Him and to verbalize our heart to Him. On Wednesday evenings, our church has been setting aside time to draw closer to God in prayer, closer to God in worship, and closer to God in word. Let me encourage you through this summer, if at all possible, come on a Wednesday night and participate and experience drawing closer to God. It is, these Wednesday evenings have been phenomenal. This Wednesday evening will be a VBS program, but we will pick back up with our spiritual adventure on the following Wednesday night. Please, please be a part of that. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, He said this to the multitudes, "But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." What is Jesus saying? He is encouraging us to not make our prayer such a public display of polished rhetoric. He is not against corporate prayer. He is not against public prayer. But He is saying that something different happens when we get alone with God. And it's just us and our honesty. It's us and our integrity. Something happens when we are not trying to change the minds of others with our prayer, but rather we are connecting with God in our prayer. He said, when you pray, go into your room. Go and shut the closet, shut the door, and speak to God. Pray to God in the secret place. And your Father, he says, who sees you praying to him in that secret place, he will reward you openly. You see, God told Solomon, if my people, Jesus said, when you pray. You know, God said, if you pray, Jesus said, when you pray. He was not expecting that to be a problem. He was expecting us to pray. In fact, more than one time he said, when you pray, you do this. He gave specific instructions, encouraging us to make sure that every one of us participated in this relationship that God is offering. Jesus not only expects us to pray, but though he was the Son of God, he left us examples of praying himself. As I said earlier, I can understand Abraham needing to pray. I can understand David needing to pray. I can understand me needing to pray. And I can really understand you needing to pray. Some of you more than others, by the way. But Jesus needed to pray? The Son of God needed to pray? That must mean prayer is very important. If Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, you know, he took up on flesh and dwelt among us, but the Bible says that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, Romans 8. Jesus came to be like us, and all of a sudden, Jesus stepping into our world made him unable to see God and hear God any better than me and you can. And I can prove this, by the way, from the Word, so don't... He had the same opportunity. He was tempted in every manner like as we, yet without sin. I know he was the Son of God and had special relationship with God, and I do not intend to establish doctrine with this sermon. I don't intend to share anything new, but I do want you to see Jesus in his humanity, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he limited himself to an earthly life and ministry. Born as a babe in a manger, grew up. He needed to eat. He needed everything that you and I need in order to live on planet Earth as not only the Son of God, but the Son of Man. That's why in Mark 1, in verse 35, the Bible says, "Now in the morning, having risen, a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." He didn't just tell people, go into your closet. He got up early in the morning. And if you read this, this was early on a Sunday morning after a Sabbath day that he had worked and taught and healed almost all night long, till presumably midnight at least. And then he got up a great while before day, before the sun came up, and he went out to his secret place, to a solitary place, and he prayed. Evidently, he needed prayer. He needed prayer after he had ministered. Luke 5:16. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. What? He often went into the wilderness. This isn't a time when Jesus was ministering and people were coming and wanting to be healed. You know, he would have to take breaks and go out into a wilderness, into a desert, into, you know, a place all by himself, and there seek God. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Okay? I mean, he even went out into a mountain by himself so he could feel as though that he was finding that secret place and prayed all night long. Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, needing to pray, Jesus, finding a place in his world that he could be alone, that he could get into a private, solitary, secret wilderness place with God so that he could pray without others hearing what he was saying, so he could pray without being interrupted by those who were coming to ask questions or by the television or by the phone or by, you know, whatever else was going on. Jesus is demonstrating a life of prayer. Luke 9 verse 18, and it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples, I'll say interrupted him, joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Wow. You know, he was alone praying. Can you see the picture that the Word of God is painting? It's painting a picture of Jesus praying. Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter and James and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. There are times that he had people with him, but what was he doing? He was taking his close friends to the place of prayer. He was taking his close friends to his prayer mountain, to the place where he would seek God, not only so he could be honest with God, but so that God could also see him investing in others, praying with his close friends. Jesus showed us honesty. He showed us reverence. Jesus prayed when he was having a good day, and he prayed when he was having a bad day. And he had some bad days. He prayed during the daytime. He prayed in the afternoon. He prayed in the early morning, and he prayed at night, sometimes all night long. Jesus never felt like God was not listening to him. But sometimes Jesus had to pray more than one time about the same thing because what he wanted was not happening as quick as he felt like he needed. You may remember in Mark the 8th chapter, you may remember that Jesus was in Bethsaida and he prayed and laid his hands on a man to see, a blind man. And then he backed up and said, "How do you see?" And the man says, "I see, but I don't see clearly. I see men as trees." And Jesus laid his hands on him again and prayed a second time. Now, if Jesus had to pray two times for the same thing, I don't think we should be bothered about having to pray two times for something. And that's not all. Look at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, this is where Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest. Verse 34, he's speaking to his disciples. He said to his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." Verse 35, then Jesus went a little farther and he fell on the ground and prayed. Can you see this? Get this picture. He's talking to his friends and he says, "My soul is so burdened. I am exceedingly sorrowful. I'm filled with sorrow and the burden of my soul is great. Stay here with me and watch with me." And then Jesus left them in that place and he went further and finally he fell down onto the ground and he began to pray. The Bible tells us he prayed sweat drops of blood. He prayed earnestly. And then he got up after approximately an hour. He got up and he went back to where he left his disciples and they were asleep. He finds them asleep. After he had prayed, he had prayed, verse 36 says he prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible. You know, take this cup from me, Nevertheless, not what I will, Lord, but what you will. Lord, your will be done. His disciples are asleep. His closest friends. He wakes them up. He says, can't you even pray with me even for an hour? Please watch and pray. He goes back a second time. Wait, why does he go back a second time? He's already prayed. He goes back a second time because you know what? He's prayed, but he's not feeling it. He's prayed, but he's not feeling the relief. He's not feeling the release. He's not feeling the comfort. He's not feeling the joy. He's not feeling the peace. He's not feeling the answer. He has prayed. He's earnestly prayed. He's fallen down on his face. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. His heart is burdened, and he has sought God, and he's prayed the perfect prayer. Oh, let this pass from me. Not my will, but yours be done. Verse 38, he tells his disciples, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Boy, there's a good word. We could have just preached on that one. Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Prayer helps you to avoid temptation. Prayer helps to avoid temptation. He said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Evidently, the flesh needs some prayer. Evidently, the flesh, that part of mankind that cannot see God, cannot hear God, that must trust that he hears us and must believe that he will answer us, and that part of our life that seems separated from God, Jesus was feeling it. Jesus was admonishing his disciples, but he was speaking out of his heart and out of his sorrowful soul. He was speaking, and the Bible says in verse 39, again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. Not only did he go and pray that second time and say the very same words, but he went a third time. Now, if Jesus has to go back once, twice, three times to find the relief, to find that spirit of joy that he was needing, joy in the will of God, to know what God wants and to feel as though that I am going to be okay with this. Because the last time he came back, he said, sleep on. And then the word later tells us that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He saw something in the prayer. He saw beyond the cross, and that gave him a joy that God was with him. God would never leave him and never forsake him. It might not be easy. It might not be what you're wanting. You might not get to let this cup pass from you, but I will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. And that is what he needed. He just needed to know what God wanted, and that satisfied his soul. Why did it take him three times to hear God? I don't know, except he might be a whole lot more like me than what I have given him credit for. That was his goal. His goal in coming to earth was to trade places with me. And if he did not trade places with me, I could not trade places with him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The great exchange, Son of Man and Son of God. You see, he went to the secret place of prayer not just once, not just twice, but three times, until he felt the peace, the comfort, and the direction that he needed from God. There was another time. Hey, do y'all like all these times that Jesus was praying? Isn't this amazing? He had to pray. You would think that people would have been praying to him. But he said, no, you've not asked me for anything so far. There'll come a time you will. You know, you'll ask the Father in my name. He'll give it to you. Well, there was another time when Jesus was real burdened. He was having a real bad day. The reason he was having a bad day is because he had worked and worked and healed and helped people, and he was doing so much ministry. And then he got some news. The news that he got was that his cousin, John the Baptist, had just been executed. Herod cut his head off. And so when Jesus heard this news, I mean, John the Baptist was the one that Jesus said was the spirit of Elijah. Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the greatest man that was ever born of a woman. Jesus was baptized by this man. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was the prophetic answer to what the world had been waiting for. And Jesus just heard he's executed. And Jesus is sad. It breaks his heart. In fact, this is not the only time that a loss of a friend affects Jesus this way. The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, Jesus wept over a friend that passed away, Lazarus. So here Jesus is saddened. And Jesus, have you ever just wanted to be by yourself? You ever wanted to just be alone? That's what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted to just be by himself. Sometimes everyone just wants to be alone. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, when it's needed. And Jesus needed it. And so Jesus in Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he's talking about the death of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, his execution, Jesus departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He was wanting to get alone. He was wanting to pray. He was wanting some secret place time. He was burdened. He was hurt. He was disappointed. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. You know this story probably, how he ends up not only healing all their sicknesses, but he takes two small fish and five loaves of bread and multiplies it and feeds 5, 10, 15,000 people. And he has a long day. It's a long day. Sometimes whenever you're burdened and all you want to do is be alone, you still got to go to work. Sometimes it has to be about others for a little while. It does. But Jesus is still needing. Jesus is carrying around this sorrow with him all day long while he's healing people and listening to their problems and everything. He's got problems. Sometimes whenever you're sharing problems with others, realize they might have some problems too. Maybe they're giving you their attention, but maybe they're also carrying some burdens. Jesus carried this burden all day long. And finally, after, nighttime comes, verse 22, after all the feeding and everything, immediately, as soon as Jesus can, after everybody's fed, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself. He finally gets his secret place time. It's late. He goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was finally all alone. Finally, he's praying. And he prays till about 3 o'clock in the morning. The Bible says that then he goes in the fourth watch, and to the next storm. There's always a next storm. There's always a next storm to be calmed. We need some secret place time with God. Amen. So the three things I leave you with as I close, drawing closer to God. I'm encouraging you, each one of you, this summer, please take this summer. Make it a point this summer. Make it a point to begin today to draw closer to God. How draw closer to God? Well, number one, draw closer to God in prayer. You've seen Jesus as an example. I'm going to encourage you, draw closer in prayer. Find the secret place of prayer. You may have to pray more than once to feel like you've gotten through, but pray till you're through. Keep praying till you get through. And then spend a little extra time in that secret place listening for the answer. Don't just get up as soon as you tell God what you want and take off. Find a secret place. Find a secret place of prayer. Draw closer in prayer. Number two, draw closer in worship. This summer, I'm going to ask you to do something that I have never asked a congregation to do publicly. But, okay, online, on campus, listen, family. Let's make some choices this summer as to what music we're going to listen to. Okay? You know, I don't ever preach about all these things like that you need to watch out for, but I want to draw closer to God in worship. And one of the things that we need to do is make an investment in our peace and maybe start choosing a little better kind of music to surround ourselves by. I would encourage you to consider that. Decide you're going to add some worship music to your everyday experience. You know, I did this morning. I got in the shower, I put on worship music. I got up early this morning and I cut up potatoes. Yesterday I cooked beans. Last night it was beef tips. This morning I made mashed potatoes. I made about 8 pounds of mashed potatoes this morning before I went and turned on my worship music. Well, I actually heard worship music in while I was doing that. Got in the shower, got ready to come here. We got some people coming over for lunch today. You can listen to worship doing anything. Get some worship music. Pastor Mike Dacey says music sells. And he's told me it doesn't care what it sells. You will remember the music you listen to. This bud's for you? What other jingles are you carrying around in your head? Music sells. It doesn't care what it sells. Start selling yourself on Jesus and His will for your life. Draw closer in prayer, draw closer in worship, and draw closer by the Word. Let me encourage you to read your Word every day, even if it's just one scripture, one verse. Okay? We're going to draw closer to God this summer. If Jesus needs prayer, so do we. Find your secret place. Find a secret place. Just be honest with God. Give Him a few minutes of your honesty. He already knows it anyway. He already knows all about it. Talk to Him. Don't be afraid of Him. He wants to hear.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.